In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's good to be king and have your own way. Get a feeling of peace at the end of the day. It's good to be king and have your own world. It helps to make friends. It's good to meet girls. So go the words of the singer Tom Petty of blessed memory. Doubtless, Petty was inspired by the ancient Jewish sage Mel Brooks. They thought that it was good to be king because that brings to one personal advantages, benefits that they might not otherwise receive. Often to be king means to have one's whims and one's behaviors largely unrestricted by the conventional norms that govern the rest of our lives. Now, there are kings who are dangerous or erratic. Kings like the Saudi prince Mohammed bin Salman, or perhaps the sovereigns of countries like Thailand or Malaysia or North Korea. Each of these is protected by their governments from the consequences of their own words and actions. And so they are able to act with impunity. And then there are kings who do not bear the official title of prince or king, but indeed they are titans of industry or politics. There are kings who blatantly used their powers to abuse others, like Joseph McCartney or Harvey Weinstein. There are kings who still shelter under the protective armor of their wealth and publicists, like Mark Zuckerberg or Jeff Bezos. Our world today remains full of kings, titled and otherwise, male and female, self-serving and perhaps occasionally benign. Now, we don't talk about a king of the United States, but for all the fuss we make over a president, there's some carryover in the significance. And all of this is why today's celebration of Christ the King Sunday and today's readings for that celebration are so fascinating to me. Today we complete the entire cycle of the church year. We have gone from Advent to Christmas through Epiphany to Good Friday to the Easter Vigil and then all the way through Pentecost right up until today. Before the service, Jeremy told me how glad he was to see some color other than green over the altar. And so today we sum all of that up. And today we not only complete the cycle of the church year, we complete the 3-year cycle of the church's lectionary. Of all the stories in the Bible, of all the meanings in the church year, what is it that summarizes everything that has gone before? How do we wrap it all up and tie it off with a bow? What is central? What is it that most clearly makes the point that Christ is King? To judge by our gospel reading today, it's the crucifixion that is at the center of everything. And that's kind of shocking. Because I normally think of capital punishment and kingship as two opposite ends of this hierarchy of power. Now, the people in our gospel account today, they know that the cross is no place for a king. They taunt and they antagonize Jesus. They see Jesus hanging from the cross, naked, shameful, powerless, and they know that the Bible says that such people are accursed. They know that Jesus is not acting like a king,
at all.
And then the religious leaders of those people chime in, and they say, he saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, the chosen one. They mock Jesus because they believe that he is pretending to be the Messiah, to be a king, without the power to back it up. In fact, they understand that this pretender to the throne has fallen into their petty power, what little remains to them, and also into the power of the oppressing empire that took away their power, and from whom a genuine Messiah was meant to save them. The religious leaders know that Jesus is not acting like a king at all. Now the agents of that empire, the Roman soldiers, they hear all this mocking and they take it up as well. They use these words to cast aspersions not only on Jesus, but on all the conquered people of Judea. The soldiers cry out, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." They find humor, dark humor and contempt, in their destruction of the one who would supposedly be the leader and representative, and dare we say it, liberator of the Jewish people. And so they delight in affixing a sign over top of his head, proclaiming to all who pass by, this is the King of the Jews. This is what happens when you set yourself up against Rome. This is the potential status of any Jewish person, much less a king. The Roman soldiers, they know what a king is. They serve Caesar. The Roman soldiers know what power is. They have conquered continents themselves. The Roman soldiers know that Jesus is not acting like a king at all. Even one of the criminals who was crucified along with Jesus joins in the chorus. He joins with his oppressors. He takes up the words of his own executioners. He sides with Rome to make fun of Jesus. The criminal knows the pain that Jesus is feeling because he feels the same thing. And yet the most important thing for him at that moment is to join the taunt, to place even himself above Jesus. The criminal knows that power is what put him on the cross, and that Jesus, suffering the same fate, is not acting like a king at all. And to all of this, Jesus says, not a word. I wonder what Jesus is thinking. Right? I mean, if I was in Jesus' place, could I stand the temptation not to answer their taunts and to step down from the cross and say, "Why, yes, I can do that." Right? I grew up singing a song in church with a chorus that said he could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. And I think that's true. Jesus, God in the flesh, had that power. Jesus had that choice. He had that opportunity. He had that option. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the King of Kings. And Jesus restrained himself. Jesus chose to remain on the cross, silently enduring. The reason I believe why Jesus did this is because Jesus was demonstrating exactly what it really means to be king, what it means to be sovereign, what it means to have power, what it means to be God. We have all these ideas about these human ideas, right, about kingship. And they're lived out by foreign dignitaries and American robber barons and movie stars and celebrities. And they're all about status and power and getting your own way. And if you live your life about these same things, then probably Christ the King does not sound very attractive to you. How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. But here on Christ the King Sunday, we read about how Jesus, the Messiah, the King of the Jews, God in the flesh, allowed himself to be crucified because that's what it means to be God. If you are poor, if you are lonely, if you are sad, if you are discriminated against, if you are struggling, if you are addicted, if you are in debt, if you are ill in body or mind or spirit, Jesus is here for you. Jesus is right beside you on the next crossover. That's what it means for Jesus to be the King that God intended for God's people, the one we heard talked about in our first reading today, that righteous branch raised up from David to reign and deal wisely, executing justice and righteousness in the land. The kind of king who does not insist upon being above the fray, set apart from everyone else, surrounded by a phalanx of bodyguards, an image impervious to assault or attack or pain or suffering. The kind of king who is present with his people, in the midst of our pains and our heartaches and our insecurities and our anxieties and our darkness and our depravities. Two criminals were crucified with Jesus, and one joined in the mockery, but the other one, get this, the other criminal did not say, "I repent." The other criminal did not say, "I would live my life differently if I had the chance." The other criminal did not say, "I have regrets. Mistakes were made." The other criminal did not even say, "I'm sorry." None of it. The other criminal did look over at Jesus, recognize that there was a king reigning even from the cross, and he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus' response was immediate. "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Today is Christ the King Sunday. And what an unusual king is Jesus. But really, who needs another one of the conventional kind? Don't we have enough of those? Isn't Jesus the kind of king that we're all looking for? The one who is with us? It's good to be king. Maybe. It's even better to be the subject of a king like Jesus. Because God is the kind of king whose reign is best symbolized by a cross, therefore we too can cry out in our pain with confidence, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And we know what the answer will be. Amen.